Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm going to hope that my sermon doesn't blow away while I'm up here. It's kind of a windy day. Today I want to speak about a Psalm of David. Remember David? Remember that boy who was such a guy who trusted in God that he said, you know, I'll go take on that giant. I'll go and defeat him. And then God used him in mighty ways. Well, he ended up becoming king of Israel, king of Judah. And after a while, he decided one year, you know what? I'm not going to even go to war this year. I'll just send out my army. Those guys, they can take care of it. I'm not even going to lead it. I'm just going to stay here. And so he was like walking on top of his roof, and he sees this pretty lady down there. And he says, you know, why don't you, you know, I'm going to invite her over here. Well, her name was Bathsheba. And he invited her over, and she ended up getting pregnant. So he's like, oh, what do I do now? Let's call Uriah, her husband, to come home from the front. And he's like, how's things going? Why don't you go home, spend some time with your wife, and then I'll come, you know, and send you back when you are ready to be sent back. But Uriah wouldn't go home to his wife because his guys were on the battlefield. He didn't want to be at home with his wife while all the men were on the battlefield. So David sent him with a letter saying, you know what, just put him in the front lines and then pull back and have him killed. After Uriah died, they mourned for him. And then David said, hey, Bathsheba, why don't you become my wife? And they thought they had gotten away with the whole affair. God had other plans. He was confronted by the prophet Nathan. I'll get into that to a moment. And he had to write this psalm called Psalm 51. And it actually has a title. It says the Psalm of David when Nathan the prophet confronted him after David's affair with Bathsheba. You see, in David's time, if he had been the king of Egypt, if he had been the king of Babylon, if be king of Assyria, you know, you could just, if you see a pretty woman, you can say, okay, you can be mine. And if the husband go and say you can't, or the dad says you can't, then I can just have you killed. And people would have looked the other way. But David, he was the king of Israel. He was appointed by God himself. He was supposed to be following the Ten Commandments, but here he broke three of them. Let's have a word of prayer, and then I'll get in a little bit into the story. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the king that David was. He was a king who sometimes he made mistakes, and yet he always came back to you. He was a king who you said was after your own heart. I ask, Lord, that this psalm that he wrote today would just challenge us to look at our hearts and to see what we have done that we might be pure before you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, the prophet Nathan came to David. And this was just after David's son was born to Bathsheba. And I don't know what David thought Nathan was coming for, maybe to bless this new child or what. But Nathan came in and he said, I got a story for you, David. Here's what happened. There were these two men in a certain town. There was a rich guy, and then there was this poor guy. This poor guy, all he had besides his family was this little ewe lamb that he just loved. It would be in his house, and it would eat from his table, and he would hold it like a father holds a child. And the rich man had some people that came over, and he said, you know what? I'm not going to use any of my lambs or my goats or anything like that. I'm going to go grab that guy's lamb. And he took the lamb, and he had it as a meal for him and his guests. And David stopped him right there. He was so mad. He's like, that man should pay for it with his life. But all he has to do is pay for it four times what he took, and that'll be enough. And Nathan looked at him and said, David, you are that man. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel. I delivered you out of the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your arms, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. If this was too little, I would have added much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die. Nevertheless, because of this deed, you have utterly scorned the Lord. The child who was born to you shall die. And the child did end up dying. And David did have other problems that happened because of this with two of his kids. Four lessons we can learn from the Psalm 51. Number one, our sins are against God. The sins of David here were lust, which is number 10 on the Ten Commandments, adultery, which is number 7, murder, which is number 6. There was a place for a sacrifice for sins, but the sins that David had committed, murder and adultery, that was supposed to be a death sentence, but God forgave him. God showed incredible mercy to David, and David wrote a psalm, and it's one of my favorite psalms. Probably one of my top three. Psalm 51 starts off verses 1-4. Have mercy on me, O God. According to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sins are ever before you. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. In this passage, David's asking God to cleanse him from three things: from his transgressions, from his iniquity, and from his sin. I'm going to define these three words, okay? Transgressions means that you have stepped over the line. If you think about if the sign posted on the highway says 65 miles an hour maximum speed, as soon as you go 66 miles an hour, you have transgressed the law. So that's what transgressions is. Iniquity is something that is always wrong. It is evil. In David's case, there was no excuse for what he did. It cannot be paid for. Sin, you guys have probably heard this one. Sin is an archery term that means to miss the mark. When you go and take an arrow and you shoot it and it misses exactly where you wanted to shoot, that means you have sinned. And that was an archery term. David sinned against Bathsheba. He sinned against Uriah. But in this psalm, he says, to you, you only have I sinned. Because who is our judge? Our judge is God. And our judge is constantly watching us. See, David thought he could get away with things, but God was always watching. And God had Nathan to send to him to tell him about his sins. And David didn't get angry at Nathan. David just accepted it and said, yes, I have sinned. Number two, our sins are from birth. Continuing on in Psalm 51. 5 and 6, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. We all have a sinful nature. Paul wrote in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all have sins that we all have to deal with. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to die for our sins. Jesus came to go to the cross for our sins. But the more we sin, the more we get used to sinning. It leads us farther and farther away from Him. There's a story about a man that he was with a group that was trying to get to the South Pole. And they were traveling, and they were had a whole bunch of group together, and they were walking. And the one guy said, "You know what? I just need to sit and rest for a little bit." And the leader said, "You can't do that. If you sit and rest, you will freeze to death." And that seems to be what some of us are doing. You know, we let sin get in and stay in our lives. We don't confess it. And it's going to kill us. It doesn't take away our salvation, but it kills the spirit that we have. God knows our sins, and we all struggle with different types of sins, whether it's pride, lust, disobedience, lying, stealing, gossip, or something else. He knows we need to be clean. He wants our inmost places to be cleansed. Number three, our sins can be cleansed. Psalm 51, 7-10 says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear the joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Now he talks about this plant called hyssop. Hyssop was the plant that they would use in religious services. They would take it, they would dip it in blood, or sometimes dip it in water, and they would go and shake it out over top of the sacrifices they were going to have. When they were in Egypt and they said, you know, take a, and put lamb's blood, they took the lamb, the hyssop, and they go and they went and put it around their door frame. And David is using this symbol to say that God can make us clean. Not just clean, he can make us whiter than snow. He can give us a pure heart and renew our spirit so that we can have a steadfast faith. Only God can forgive sins because of what he did for us by dying on the cross. We can be cleansed. We can be totally clean. Kind of reminds me of that. Remember those OxyClean commercials where they had that washing machine that was glass, and they would be going around and they would pour the OxyClean in, and all of a sudden the water would get so clean and the clothes would get so clean. That's kind of the way that God does it. Jesus's blood that was shed for us totally cleanses us. Anyone can be cleansed, even the worst of sinners. And the last point I have, number four, our sins keep us from a joyful life. Psalm 15, 11-17 says, "Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips and I will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You're not pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you do not despise." Sin keeps us from a joyful life. It says, he says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." David was really worried here. He was worried that God would be so mad at him that he would take away his Holy Spirit. David had seen this done before. Saul, the previous king, had the Holy Spirit on him, but then when he had disobedience, God took away the Holy Spirit. And David did not want this to happen. David wanted to be obedient before God, to ask for forgiveness. And then he says, he doesn't just stop there. He goes, "You know, God, forgive me. And then I will go and I will teach other people about you and about the way that you forgive." He wanted to tell others. And that's something that we should do too. Once God forgives us, once God cleanses our hearts, we need to look at others and say, they need to know about this too. They need to know that God can forgive. We sometimes forget that our sins weigh heavily on us. Our sins, if not confessed, would drag us down into hell. But because of God's grace, because of his mercy, he has given us that salvation, that forgiveness that can help us all through our days. We're going to close with Creating Me a Clean Heart, which is from this psalm. I think it's interesting that we were looking at it at the bulletin and it said, now, Creating Me a Clean Heart, words by Keith Green. And he did sing the song back in the 70s, but the words were from David. So let's have our closing song. And if you need to come forward and confess your sins, you can do that.